You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 27th, 2026, and welcome to episode 197 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning in to the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Water Park Simulator. First, though, as always, let's take a look at the news from this week. This week in Cologne, Germany, the biggest video game show in all of Europe kicked off Gamescom. So let's take a look at some of the biggest news and announcements to be revealed during the show and its big opening night live event. I think the headline here belongs to CD Projekt Red and their Witcher announcements. First is the new expansion for Witcher 3 titled Songs of the Past. And they are saying that this is the final adventure for series star Geralt, and it's coming out a whopping 12 years after The Witcher 3 came out. That's some late DLC. And then they revealed that Witcher 3 is getting a full remaster in September, and it's going to be free for anybody that owns the base game, which is really, really cool. With those two projects and Witcher 4 set for 2028, I think we are going to have tons of monster hunting action for the next couple of years. We also got new trailers for two highly anticipated games, Final Fantasy VII Revelation, which is going to wrap up the remake trilogy with a bang and comes out in the spring, and Gears of War E-Day, which takes that series back to its origins and is coming out in October. Both of these trailers looked fantastic. Ubisoft's popular Rainbow Six series is getting the turn-based strategy treatment with Rainbow Six Tactics. That game is also coming out next year, and I am fairly intrigued about that direction for the series. We got a better look at Stage Tour, which is a spiritual successor to Rock Band with a very Guitar Hero-like style. It's going to have dedicated hardware, plastic guitars and drums and all that. And it's got a soundtrack featuring Metallica, The Rolling Stones, Muse, and a lot more. I am very interested to see if they can successfully revive the plastic instrument genre. That might be a tall order, but it looks like a decent start. And the makers of City Skylines are making a new entry in the series that'll have you building a city using Lego bricks. Yes, Lego Skylines, which is actually, I think, kind of awesome. That seems pretty cool. Other reveals of note include a new Turok game, a Crazy Taxi multiplayer trailer, and Snoop Dogg joins Hitman World of Assassination, because of course he does. All told, I think this was a pretty decent showing for Gamescom. There was some cool stuff that we saw, and I'm very excited for more Witcher, and obviously Gears is one of my most anticipated games of the year. One of my daughter's favorite streamers is Queso, and I actually enjoy watching him too with her because he's a funny guy and he doesn't seem to be problematic in any sort of way, which you never know with streamers these days. I'm obviously no prude or anything, but I kind of appreciate that he's one of the biggest streamers in the world. And he doesn't cuss on his streams, and he blurs out, you know, bad language or nudity if it's in the game that he's playing. It's just, it's, it's just kind of a nice change of pace, you know, instead of everyone else who's always trying to be so edgy. And I like seeing some of the types of games that he plays, which are oftentimes ones that I haven't checked out or maybe even heard of before. Games like Buckshot Roulette, Mecha Chameleon, and Water Park Simulator. So Queso started streaming Water Park Simulator last year when it was still in early access, and it just recently had its 1.0 and console release. So I thought some time at the pool would be a fun way to wrap up the summer. So it plays fairly similarly to other games in the workplace sim genre, I guess you call it. You purchase an old broken down water park, and after clearing away all of the junk and debris, you start to rebuild it from scratch in the hopes of one day running the biggest and coolest 5-star water park in the land. But it takes a lot of work to get there. You will start off with just a small basic swimming pool with a diving board, and in the beginning you will be a one-person organization. You've got to sell the tickets yourself, you clean the pools, and you fix the busted toilets. Every action that you do in the game will earn you experience points, and for every 100 experience points that you get, you will receive one research point. And this is where the bulk of your upgrades will come from. At your work desk, you'll find 3 upgrade trees where you'll spend those points to unlock everything from new pools and slides to being faster and more efficient at cleaning and repairing things, to fun gadgets and toys like a super soaker to blast visitors with, or a taser gun to deal with any unruly guests. And there are other quests that you can do to unlock things. You'll always kind of have a main objective, which is what ups your star level in the game. And you can also do tasks for like the local museum, which will then unlock themed items like a pirate themed pool and decorations, or Aztec theme. And I think those unlocks are what makes this game so dang addicting to me. There's so many things to unlock. There's probably, if you count, you know, physical items like decorations and pools and the upgrades and the perks, there's probably a couple of hundred things to unlock. And the drip feed is at such a good, consistent pace that I always wanted to do just one more day, because I know that I'm always, you know, super close to unlocking that next cool thing. I'm a sucker for these kind of games where you're building or creating an area or something, and you're constantly unlocking new ways to customize it and make it your own. And the more you grow your park, the more you have to balance. In addition to cleaning and repairing, you'll have to watch out for people you know, that are drowning, and you have to go throw a life preserver at them. You've got to mop up water so people don't slip and hurt themselves. And once you get food stalls, you need to serve people the correct orders and run across the street to the market to get more supplies. It gets to be a lot to juggle, and you'll be constantly running back and forth until you can afford to hire some staff, which you can then assign to complete different tasks. I love the designing and arranging things in just the right way, and the game does that stuff, I think, really well. But honestly, it's the stupidity and the nonsense that's constantly happening that makes this so much fun for me to play. It's so dumb to be fishing a turd out of a pool and then having to run over to the other side of the park to punch a pervert in the face who's taking pictures of people in the shower, and then hosing down a stinky guest with a super soaker while somebody ragdolls ass over tea kettle down a slide over your head and into the pool. It's just goofy, chaotic ridiculousness. This game, I was trying to think how I felt about this game, and it's kind of like the Chicken McNugget of video games. You know, like, is it super well made and high end and polished? Like, no, not really, but I still kind of love it for what it is. It's janky, silly, and dumb. But it's a bunch of fun, and I've been playing it basically every night, and I've put in dozens of hours at this point. Also, Queso can just randomly appear at your water park and come stomping in like Godzilla and steal all your hot dogs. I mean, come on. Definitely was not an emo kid. My musical tastes were formed in the early 90s, the late 80s and early 90s, I'd say. So I was more closely associated with the grunge and the metal scene of that time. But I do have very specific memories of the first time that I heard My Chemical Romance back in 2004, and thought to myself, holy crap, this is really something different. I actually think the first time I ever saw them or heard them was a commercial for their album that was playing on G4 constantly at the time. I've been a big fan of theirs ever since, and on Monday, I finally got a chance to see them live when they came to town for their tour celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Black Parade. And I consider that album to be nearly perfect. There isn't a single skippable song, and they're almost all bangers, as the kids would say. So to hear them perform the entire album front to back was so freaking cool. They had the same energy as they did 20 years ago, even though they're all probably, you know, in their 40s, similar age to me now. And the theatrics throughout the show were outstanding. It was almost like watching a Broadway version of the album, complete with, you know, an opera singer and a full cast of actors and costumes and the crowd voting on a public execution. And of course, plenty of flames and pyrotechnics. And after that, after they finished that album, they came out to a smaller stage and played songs from some of their other albums like Danger Days and Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. I'm getting older now, so I don't always get excited about concerts at my age, but this honestly was one of the best shows I've ever been to. Hearing thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people singing at the top of their lungs to every word of every song was just crazy cool. I was slightly bummed to miss the opening act, but do you have any idea how long it takes to get thousands of goth kids with their studded collars and wallet chains through a metal detector? Oh boy. Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and be kind to one another.